Greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It looks different when every one of us is wearing black, or most of us. We live in a world where dangers abound. Will you continue to do a good work for Christ? Because the only time where you can do a good work for Christ is right now when you are in this earthen vessel during your sojourn on this earth. The moment time's up, it's all over. The urgency must be in our hearts and in our lives because there are many around us who needs a very, very watchful, alert believer. Spiritually alert, spiritually awake. He must never, never fall into spiritual slumber. One of the key consequence of a person who falls into spiritual slumber is that he will betray Christ. And so this morning, the question asked is, will you betray Christ? As you can see through the responsive reading, the word betrayal repeats itself many, many times. The disciples wondered, is it I? Judas also asked the same question, is it I? The word betrayal is definitely the emphasis in this morning's passage. Will you ever betray Christ? It is not the church who has called us to be watchful. It is not any human being. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you decide not to be watchful, that means you put your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in jeopardy. And when you succumb to temptations, when you fall into sin during times of trials and testings, you have betrayed Christ. It is as simple as that. It is not the church. The church, Calvary, Pandan, BPC will also one day disappear like every other things on this earth. Calvary, Pandan is not going to last forever. FEBC is not going to last forever. These will all be forgotten except the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that is of this earth that God wants us to remember is the name Jerusalem. In the new heaven and new earth, the capital city for all eternity, for all of God's children, is called New Jerusalem. That's it. Every other city, every other name will soon be forgotten, except Jerusalem. So the betrayal, remember, is not the church, is not anything that is on this earth, is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Will you betray him? If your surrender to Christ in the time of your salvation is not total and not complete, please check your salvation. Because when a person becomes a Christian, it has to be an unconditional total surrender. And the reason is Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. And therefore, if you want to surrender to Christ on certain conditions, then please check your salvation. Checking one's salvation was the Apostle Paul's constant heart's cry. He reminded himself in 1 Corinthians 9:27, where he says, I keep under my body, that is, the phrase keep under, literally means I disable my own body like an antagonist, as a form of a pugilistic move. I disable, I cripple myself and bring it under subjection. That is every part of my life, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A castaway is a term to describe a reprobate. A reprobate means an unbeliever. You mean an unbeliever can preach the gospel and God can use the gospel that comes out of the mouth of an unbeliever and save souls? Yes. Because salvation is of the Lord. It doesn't matter whether the gospel comes out from a dead tape recorder or it comes from an unbeliever, as long as the gospel is declared according to scriptures, even if an unbeliever reads the Bible, you have unbelievers who may be professors in seminary teaching the word of God and they themselves do not believe in Christ because it's just a profession for them. People can be saved. Remember, most of the early reformers of the 16th century Reformation were ex-Roman Catholic monks, priests. Don't forget that. John Calvin was one. Luther was one. They were all ex-Roman Catholic monks and priests. As long as the Word of God is present, people will be saved because salvation is the work of God. Just because you may be used by God to save souls doesn't mean that you are saved. And that is why it is so important for us to realize that when you want to talk about watch and pray, you never, never assume that you are born again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter if you have theological training. It matters not at all if you are not born again. And you cannot afford to take that risk because the price is eternal damnation in hell. It is not what you and I say that make us Christians. You know that a child cannot adopt his father. Adoption only comes from one direction, and that is from father to son. God adopts us, make us children of God. You do not make God your heavenly father. You don't have the power. God has. And God says, if you truly, truly believe from your heart, confess with your mouth, you will truly be born again. But it has to be a total, complete surrender. Jesus warns us and taught us that. If you love father, mother, brother, sister, your wife, your children, even your own life more than me, you are not worthy. You cannot be my disciples. Plain and simple. You cannot be a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ if you do not surrender everything totally, unconditionally to Christ. Because the moment you put a condition, and once the condition is met in your lifetime, you're going to betray Christ. So what is the price? Will you betray Christ for a price? That's the question. Will you? What is the price? You love your son, your daughter more than Christ? That price will be demanded of you by Satan one day. And when it comes, you're going to give up Christ because you love your own son, your daughter, more than Christ. And many parents have fallen into this pitfall and you don't even realize it. How your life of service and testimony have completely transformed and changed when the children came into your life. Your service slackened. Your reading and study of God's Word has lost its zeal and fervency. You just plod along, trying to make ends meet. You have stopped giving your tithe and your offering. The word tithe means 10%, 1/10. Don't talk about offering, which will be on top of the 10th. Many things in terms of our spiritual well-being have suffered because we put a price tag in our obedience to Christ. Will you betray Christ for a price? Judas did, even though he knew after Jesus had said, somebody will betray me and I will be crucified. And Judas deliberately went out of his way. You watch verse 14, see what the Bible says. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. He went there on his own deliberately. It was premeditated. He made a journey. It was not while he was strolling out in the garden, suddenly he met the chief priests. He searched them out. Verse 15, and he said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Now, the word deliver is translated in this whole chapter in another English word, which is the word betray. It's the same word. In other words, Judas was very blunt. What will you give me? And I will betray him unto you. That's the English word. Same word as you find in verse 16. From that time, he sought opportunity to betray him, to deliver him. Same word, same idea. Very blunt, very direct. Will you betray Christ too? He did. And they covenanted, they made an agreement with him, with Judas, for 30 pieces of silver. That's the price of a slave. That's how much Judas regarded Christ. He is not worth more than the price of a slave. That's it. 30 pieces of silver. You go on eBay, you buy things from eBay, you see how much people put a price tag on certain items. And there are people who will spend millions of dollars for a stamp. There are people who spend millions of dollars for a piece of painting. And here Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of silver, you would sell the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after Jesus Christ had already prophesied that someone will betray me and I will be crucified in 2 days' time. And he went and did it. What kind of man would do such a thing, knowing the word of God, and yet he did it? He was not born again. We know many portions of God's word. We have been taught, we have been reading and studying God's word. Do you have in your heart a desire to obey every jot and tittle of God's word? That every time you read God's word, I will submit to God's word. That can only come if you surrender your life to the Lord unconditionally. Do you know that? Because there will be certain portions of God's word whereby when you read it, you want to skip it. You want to brush it aside because you are committing that sin. You do not want to let go of that sin. You do not want to let go of that thing, whatever the person or thing it might be, that is more important to you than Christ. A person who is in adultery, he will not like to read the Ten Commandments. He will not like any passage that touches on adultery because he is in that sin. He doesn't want to be reminded that he is continuing to commit that sin in his life. He will try as much as possible to avoid every passage in the Bible that touches on that. Likewise, a person who is a homosexual. Likewise, a person who commits fornication. Likewise, a person who holds on to any sin, that any portion of the Bible that touches upon it, he likes to avoid it. Are you afraid of the verse that talks about how we need to surrender our all to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you afraid of that verse? Anyone who loves his son, his daughter, his father, his mother, his wife, his own life more than me cannot be my disciple. Do you like that verse? Or every time you come to that verse, you dare not read it out. You dare not even look at it because it reminds of your conditioned surrender. And you know once the price is demanded of you, you will choose not Christ, but your son, your spouse. And that will be it. And you don't even realize that you have already done so. How many of you truly can say that you love Jesus Christ more than your son, more than your daughter? Because if that is not the way that you love your Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what is the consequence? You are actually hating your son and your daughter. You think when God asks us, love me more than anyone on this earth, you think God is being very facetious and very angry and bad to us when he demands that of us? He knows that when you do not love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you don't know how to love anyone correctly. He knows that. You will love them in a manner that will hurt yourself and that will hurt them and that will hurt the name of Christ. Jesus knows that. That's why he asks of us, he demands of us, don't put a price tag in your relationship with Jesus Christ, because one day Satan will find out what that price is and then he will dangle it in front of you and then you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in serious trouble. You're going to succumb. And you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. Never put a price tag. Judas, as an unbeliever, the price was 30 pieces of silver. What is your price for Christ? What is? Is there a price? Do you love Jesus Christ more than your own life? Then live for Christ. Do you love Jesus Christ more than you love your son, your daughter? Yes or no? Then you cannot use your children as an excuse not to serve the Lord, not to be what you are supposed to be as a godly father. Be a godly father to them by praying without ceasing, by studying God's word, by making yourself a good student of God's word. Because that's the only way you can be a godly father. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Because the moment the price is your son, your daughter, you fail. Why do you think God asked Abraham to offer Isaac? You think it was for God's benefit? It was for Abraham's benefit. Abraham needed to know. Whom do you love more, Abraham? Me or your only begotten son, Isaac? He had to pass the test. And thank God he passed it. He passed the test with flying colors. We all will be tested. Day in, day out, you will be tested. Do you love Christ more than your work? Do you love Christ more than your children, your family, your freedom, your life? If you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than your work, then you have to be a godly testimony in your workplace. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than your children, then you have to make sure that Jesus Christ is number one in your family. Teach your children that. It is very, very sad when parents have planned tuition on the Lord's Day on purpose. It is very sad when children have to encourage their children to choose ballet than YF. Why? Your ballet can put it some other time, some other date. YF, Christian fellowship that will help them, encourage them to have godly Christian friends. These are the times when we betray our own children and we betray Christ in the process, when we make bad decisions. Do you realize that? How are you as a parent gearing your children up in the spiritual life, in the spiritual well-being? Are they prepared for the world that is in front of them? Sure, you prepare them very well with education that will help them get a good job. That any unbelieving parent can do. But the spiritual life, the spiritual battle, the spiritual watchman that you are supposed to be over your own children, you know the world is evil and wicked. You know the world is not a kind place to godly believers because they hated the Lord. And if you want to be like the Lord, like the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you too. How are you equipping your children to face a world like this? By the way that you are bringing them up. So your price for Christ is your children. And now many of us perhaps may be paying it. And it's a heavy price because you only have one try in bringing up your son and your daughter. There is no second try. You mess it up, it's going to be messed up permanently. You may not repeat the same mistakes in child number two and child number three, but child number one's life has already been messed up. Let it be no price. Let it be an unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be a watchman, it has to be a total surrender. Never betray Christ. Whatever it costs, don't ever put a price to your obedience to the Lord. Judas did. If you and I ever do, you are following in the footsteps of Judas Iscariot. Second consideration, will you betray Christ when you are not ready? Not ready to meet whatever trials and difficulties that may confront you. Look at verse 17 to 19. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now this is not the capital F, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, this is the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That means the first day of this period where they will eat unleavened bread. So the word feast is small f. So the King James translator translated it correctly. It is just feast means eating. The first day of the eating of unleavened bread, which will be the Passover, which is on the 14th day of the first month of every year. The capital F, Feast of Unleavened Bread, will begin on the 15th of the first month of every new year. So this is not the capital F, Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is just the eating of the unleavened bread, which will be the Passover itself. Now, what exactly was the Passover all about? The Passover was a type of Christ. The Passover was the offering of a lamb in place of the firstborn son in every Jewish home. When the Lord passed over all the homes in Egypt as the 10th plague before the Exodus. And anyone who will believe in God's instruction will kill the lamb, take the blood, dab it on the post and the frame of the entrance of every home. And when the Lord sees the blood, he will pass over and spare the life of the firstborn son. And that is a picture of the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord will die in our place. So this Passover will have that significance. And so it had arrived. And then the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" The Passover was observed only twice in the homes of the people. First time in Egypt, they rushed out. They did not have time to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was for 7 days. And then when they were in the wilderness, in the second year, the first month of the second year, they kept the Passover while they were at the foot of Mount Sinai in the second year. They never kept the Passover throughout the 40 years of wilderness wandering until after they crossed the River Jordan, after they were circumcised in the city of Gilgal. Then they kept their third Passover. And after the conquest of the Promised Land, the Lord instructed them that the Passover must only be kept no more in the individual homes. The Passover must be kept in the city where I will put my tabernacle and later on my temple. And that's why they were all gathered at Jerusalem. That was where the temple was located. And so they looked for a place to keep the Passover. And normally you do it together with your loved ones and your family. And so the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ a very legitimate and perhaps also a very common question in those days. Where should we go to keep the Passover? And the Lord said to them, "Go into the city to such a man, and then you say to him, 'The Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. My time is at hand.'" Now please note, Judas sought opportunity, sought a good time. That's the word in verse 16. Judas, after he betrayed Christ, now his singular agenda was to seek out, to search out like someone trying to look for a lost item. He was waiting and watching for the right time to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had already accepted 30 pieces of silver. And here the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, also within the earshot of Judas, he was here at this Passover, where Jesus says, "My time is at hand." What time? The time of my betrayal is near. Jesus was ready. Jesus was in control. Jesus knew that very soon he will be going to the cross. He knew that it will be the most difficult and painful moment throughout this entire period after he took on the form of a man through the Virgin Mary. This will be the climax, the most difficult part of the whole process of salvation that Jesus Christ must accomplish for you and for me. And so he was in control of every second. My time is near. My time is at hand. Even as Judas was plotting and planning, Jesus Christ was always in control. He was ever ready. But were the disciples ready? Should we always be ready? Yes. We must never, never at any time let our guard down. We cannot afford to let our guard down even for the briefest of moment. Because when you are not always ready, you're going to stumble and fall. Why do you think Jesus asks us to pray without ceasing? Because a person who prays without ceasing is a person who always leans on Christ. And a person who always leans on Christ is a person who is always ready. So that he will never, never be caught off guard. When you least expect it, Satan will pounce, Satan will jump. Why do you think the Bible describes him as a roaring lion, waiting and waiting and waiting? When you least expect it, he will get you. He will get you. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. They made ready the Passover. Yes, they prepared the place, they prepared the bread, they prepared the unleavened bread and the cup, they prepared everything. But did they prepare themselves? Apparently not. They prepare everything as far as the physical was concerned. As far as the spiritual, they were not ready. The woman mentioned earlier was more ready than them. She broke that precious ointment, the alabaster box, and used it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did any of them? No. None whatsoever. They were not ready for the Passover. And the next few verses of this chapter will prove that. They were bickering, they were quarreling, they were talking big, they were boasting. Were they ready? They were not ready. Are you ready? Don't put a price tag. That is good if you don't put a price tag. But you must also always be ready. Never allow yourself to be ill-prepared. Because the world will always be there, waiting to destroy your testimony. Satan will make sure of that. The moment you call yourself a Christian, you become a target. It is like painting a bull's eye on your front and back. Do you know that? The moment you call yourself a Christian, and as a Christian, you cannot be ashamed of Christ. You have to call yourself a Christian. And Jesus wants you to call yourself a Christian. That means be always ready for all the fiery darts of the evil. And they can come from many different directions while you are in church, while you are at home, while you are at work, while you are traveling in public transport, or while you are driving, anytime. You can jeopardize your testimony. How many times we are too free with our mouth when we are driving? I think Singapore drivers are one of the worst, I believe, in the world. Is it true? Some will probably disagree with me. When I say one of the worst is that when we drive, I think we use a lot of words to criticize and to comment on other drivers. That's what I mean. This driver did not do this. This driver did not do this. Driver should. This driver did. Make a lot of comments. And many forget that our young children are behind, seated there, not realizing that they are picking up all our vocabularies, all the things that we say and do. And pretty soon, when you hear the words that you've been using coming out of their mouth, and then you have the shock of your life. What have you just done? All those many hours you sat in the car with your children. All those words that came out. True? Not true. You just finished your quiet time. You got into your car. It's as if the moment you get into a car, a totally different person comes out. It's a Jekyll and Hyde kind of principle. Sit in front of the Bible in the quiet morning. Very goody-goody, do your quiet time, pray, very good, everything all ready to face the day. The moment you sit into your car, the children is late. So you lose your temper, you shout and you hurry up. The moment they get in, they rush, and then you drive there because you are rushing for time. And everything that you pray for, everything that you read a moment ago during quiet time is no more quiet. And then once you get into the office, the whole thing just starts all over again. The kind of action and reaction, the kind of words. And then the next day, the same thing happened again and again and again. And then we come to church on Sunday for worship. Everything is just something that we call a formality. Because Monday to Saturday, our closeness to God is only that 5-10 minutes of quiet time. And that's it. It's more of a ritual than something that we really, really have intimate fellowship with the Lord. It's not that. We are not ready. You have to be ready at all times. And we are talking about spiritual readiness, because at any time, you can let loose your mouth and say the wrong words. At any time, you can do the wrong thing. Because Satan never sleeps. He's ever ready and watching to see us stumble and fall. You have to be ever ready. The disciples were ready as far as the physical. But were they ready mentally, spiritually? Apparently not. It was the Passover. It was the last and final Passover that the Lord was about to have with them. He just told them in verse 1 and 2, right? Did he not? 2 days I will be betrayed. That means this is going to be the last Passover that I'm going to have with you. We have had only how many Passover? They have been with Christ for 3 years. This will be the half year, so it will be the final part of it. So this will be the last and final Passover. This is the fourth and final Passover that he probably had with them. And what did they do? They treated him as if they're going to have many, many more Passover with Christ. Christ just told you, this is going to be my last. Don't you realize the significance and the importance of it? This is going to be my last. And all they could think about was themselves, as you'll see later on. That's all they care about. Me, my world, my money, my leadership, what do I get out of it? What about Christ? What about the name of Christ? What about the testimony of Christ? Where is Christ in your life? You mean you're only called a Christian and that's all there is to it? Are you really a Christian where Christ means more to you than anything else, even your own big name? That he must really increase and I must decrease. Will you betray Christ? Or maybe the question is, will you stop betraying Christ? Will you? How to watch and pray when we are continuing to betray Christ, when there's so many things and people in my life that are more important to me than Christ, whereby on the list of priority, Christ may be number 5, number 6, number 10, right at the bottom. So many things that I would do more first, and if I have time, I will do it for Christ. Other than that, never mind. We cannot let that happen. Because too much is at stake. Too much. The souls of the people in your life are at stake. Your own soul is at stake. The name of Christ is at stake. Because you bear the name of Christ when you tell the world, I'm a Christian. Will you be ready? Ever ready, anytime you are able to rise to the occasion and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, come what may, even if it means losing your freedom and your life. Are you? Be faithful in little, in the least, so that you will be faithful in much. The little things that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to your day-to-day life, to your children, to your spouse. All these will slowly add up. When you are faithful in little things, God knows you'll be faithful in much. And He will entrust you with the souls of other men, women, and children. Are you ready? You know, tithe and offering is something that we seldom talk about. Tithe and offering is only substance, dead things. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, be faithful in the least. Dead things. Your money is dead. If you can't be faithful in dead things, can God really trust you with things that are more important, that are alive, like the souls of men, women, and children? We want to serve the Lord. We want to be Sunday school teachers. We want to be in positions of leadership, to look after fellowships and to be session members and so on. Fine, by all means. But that means you want to look after the souls of men, women, and children. That's what it means. Look after the souls of men, women, and children. But you can't even be faithful in looking after dead things, giving of your tithe and your offerings. You want to rob from God. You do not give of all these things. How are you going to be a godly testimony and example to look after souls of men, women, and children? Looking after men, women, and children in any capacity is not a game. It is very, very real. In a game, what do you lose? You lose things that are dead. In life, you lose souls. And that means eternity in hell. That is what is at stake. That's why Jesus warns us, watch and pray. So much is at stake. I could have easily saved you and bring you all the way to heaven immediately, but I did not. Because I will entrust to you my ministry, where I am now seated in God's right hand. You will now become my hands and my feet. You will become my mouth. That's what Christians are. today to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we must never betray Him. He trusts us so much that He wants us to do what He was supposed to do. But He gave the honor and privilege to us. He did not ask angels. He did not ask animals. He asked us to look after God's children. Children whom He has redeemed with Christ's precious blood. His only begotten Son. That's how you must always look at your ministry. That's why you must always pray for the people under your care. That's why you must always be prepared to die for them, to live for them. That's what it means, Sunday school teachers, YF leaders, YAF, AF, everyone without exception, and the highest, of course, would be the session. When you stand up here, session member, and you look at the congregation, who do you see? Do you see just people? Or do you see them as children of the living God whom Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every one of them? And you think Jesus Christ will just simply let us play the fool with them, take advantage of them and fleece the flock? When we are supposed to feed the flock and die for the flock and nurture them and help them to grow? Jesus demands that of us. And that's the least we can do. And that's why if you want to be a leader in any capacity, you have to be ever ready. You cannot allow one moment of slip up because the price is too high. Be ever ready. And thirdly and finally, you have to know what you are doing. You have to know your salvation. You have to know whether you are truly born again. You have to know in your heart of hearts. Look at how the disciples responded to the words of Christ. Verse 20. Now when the even was come, He sat down with the 12. They are about to eat. Now remember, the first day begins and in the even. So probably this will be the 14th of the first month of the new year. And they did eat, and He said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall deliver me, shall betray me. Now Jesus deliberately did not name the person. He just made a very plain blanket statement. One of you. And then they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? No reply from Christ. Expecting a negative. It is not you. Except perhaps Judas. Now you please remember this phrase, Lord, is it I? Because Judas will also ask the same phrase with a little twist in verse 25. And Jesus answered, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish. Now they don't have utensils for eating. So everyone will be dipping. The same shall betray me. Now you cannot not partake of the Passover. So everybody will dip. Now the disciples, each and every one of them, asked this question, Lord, is it I? They stated it in the negative, expecting a negative reply. No, it is not you. But in the case of Judas, you watch. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born, but he is already born. Second class condition, contrary to fact. He's already born. So Jesus was making a condition that is unreal. It is good if the man had not been born. He's already born. So that means it is bad for this person. Because he's going to be the one who will betray the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been prophesied in Holy Scriptures, in other words. That's how God wanted us to realize and understand that every part of Jesus' life, right up to the time when He will breathe His last breath and utter on the cross, it is finished. God had always been in control. Always. And He will always be in control of your life and my life, but He wants us to cooperate with Him and to participate with Him in the fulfillment of the work of God on this earth before His return. Just as God wanted all the disciples to realize that each and every one of you are doing God's will, participate with me in fulfilling God's first coming of Jesus Christ. And now we are all preparing for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must do your part. It is our honor and privilege to be used by God to watch and to pray. For the work of God, for God's people, it is our honor and our privilege. Don't despise it. Don't fail the Lord. Be ever ready. Don't put a price tag in your devotion, your obedience, and your love for Christ. Be ever ready. And ignorance, it's a very, very sad, sad state to be in. You have to know. First, are you truly a child of God? You have to know in your heart of hearts. Don't assume, please. Look into your life. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit? Are you truly born again? Are you truly a child of God? Do you know that when you pray, you really have genuine, sincere communion with the Lord? Don't take that risk. You have to know. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, how did the disciples ask? Lord, how did Judas ask? Master, the disciples regarded Christ as Lord. That means we will obey whatever you say. But Judas was different. Master. And Jesus answered him. Is it I? He asked in the negative, expecting a negative reply. But Jesus gave him a positive reply. Yes, thou hast said. That means, yes, you are the one. You are the one. Will Jesus say that of us? You are the one who will betray me? You think God does not know when we pretend? God knows. You think God is going to respect us because I am an ordained elder, I'm an ordained minister, I have theological training? All this means nothing if you are not a child of God. You have to know in your heart of hearts that you will never betray Christ, that you will always obey Him to the best of your ability with God's help and God's enabling. I will obey every jot and tittle of God's word. Whatever I read in the Bible, I want to obey, Lord. Please help me. That's how you be ready and watchful. That's how you will know by God's enabling, by God's help, that you will never betray Him. No matter what. They can take my life, they can take my job, they can take my freedom, they can take my family, but I must never at any time betray Christ. And to do that, you have to make very sure of your salvation. Without exception, you have to make very sure of your salvation. The Bible warns us that if any one of us, we tell lies, perpetually, never repent of it. We are frightened. We are ashamed of him. Fornicators, adulterers, whoremongers, liars, all these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Period. They will not means they will not. That's it. Coming to church, BBK, all these things are nothing if you are not born again. You know that. Coming to church camp is only good if you are truly born again. And you come with a heart that is totally surrendered to Christ. No more my way, no more my own, but only the Lord's way. In bringing up my children, in my spiritual life, in my work, in everything. If it is not total surrender. Do you really, really know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? How dare we surrender ourselves to Christ with condition. Is there a price? You're going to betray Christ? If you are not ever ready, it's only a matter of time you're going to betray Christ. And if you do not know your own salvation, if you do not know the Word of God, you do not know that you are to be watchful and ready at all times and pray without ceasing, you're going to betray Christ. It's only a matter of when. It's not even a question of if. Do you really want that? I pray not. Because so many people depend on you, isn't it? You look around you. Parents, you look at the little ones that you're carrying in your hands. You look at them. And parents with teenage children, you look at each and every one of them. Can you really, really look at them in their eyes and say, you see Christ in the way that mom and dad have brought you up? Can you say that to them? Have they seen Christ? If not, what do they see? See the world? Or do they see Christ? Your choice. And for some of us who have grown up children, and if some of them are wayward, now all you can do is to beg and cry to God for mercy. That's all. That the Lord will chastise them, if needful, to bring them back unto Himself. That's all. Because if they are not born again, you're not going to see them again if the Lord comes. Because when the Lord comes, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 22, do you know what it means, right? When the Lord returns. For the first time, the world is going to see the resurrected Christ. They've never seen the resurrected Christ. They've seen Christ on earth in this mortal flesh. But the resurrected Christ, the 40 days before ascension, Christ appeared only to believers. But the Bible tells us when Jesus returns in the resurrected state, he will no longer come as a savior. He will come only as the judge. And that means if you are evil and wicked when the Lord returns, you're going to be evil and wicked for eternity and you will end up in hell. If you're holy and righteous when the Lord comes, again, you will be righteous and holy for eternity. That means every state and condition of mankind at that point in time when the Lord returns will become your state for eternity. That's what it means. You see this in Revelation 22. That's how serious it is when you think of the second coming of Christ. Everything will become permanently fixed in that state. And so if your son, your daughter, they are not born again, and they will be in that state for eternity when the Lord returns. Please, when we talk about, when the Bible talks about the return of Christ, understand the implications. It's not going to be a happy day for everyone. Only to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who obey Him with their whole heart, their whole being. Then you have a wonderful, wonderful expectation when you see the Lord face to face. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, sanctify Thy people by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting, that none of us in this hall may ever realize and understand that we are not Your child. Help us, O Lord, to know in our own heart of hearts that we have truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior without any condition, that we will give our lives to Him and go where He sends and do what He wants. O Lord, may we never betray Thee. And if we have ever done so, Lord, may Thou forgive us, cleanse us and wash us, that we may truly be godly husbands and wives, parents, or sons and daughters to our parents and employers and employees, that wherever Thou wilt send us forth, may we bring glory and honor to the name of our Savior, who has given us the honor and privilege to call ourselves Christian. Forgive us, O Lord, and cleanse us by Christ's precious blood, and bless every camper for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.